I'm Georgia Galanoudis, President of New York Women in Communications, New York Wiki. Welcome to New York Wiki's Women Heard Changemakers podcast. This is for the communications community where I have the privilege of talking to female changemakers and inviting them to share their stories of resilience while navigating through change. These are personal and professional moments in their career that demonstrate how humanity and growth are not mutually exclusive, where when you lead with empathy and compassion, you can establish even more sustainable models for growth and success. In this episode, I'm chatting with 2023 Matrix Award winner, Christine Elliott. Christine is Chief Corporate Affairs Officer at Moody's Corporation, where she protects the Moody's over 114-year-old brand, its voice, and its global reputation. I had the joy of learning a little bit about Christine through the Matrix nomination and selection process. But after meeting Christine, I realized here's someone I actually really wanted to get to know, someone that I'd want on my desert island in a time of need. Welcome, Christine. I'm excited to talk to you today and get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, thanks, Georgia. I would be on that island any day.
That's great. You know, when we think about our careers, they're generally not these linear journeys, but you've managed to navigate yourself into a role that, as you've described it, is your dream job at Moody's. And for any of those listening that attended Matrix or have read up on it or watched any of the videos, your presentation with your colleague and boss, Rob, was really quite remarkable and showed such a camaraderie there, which I'm sure is part of the reason why this is your dream job. Are there certain things that you've looked for in your navigating, or things that have really stuck with you as common threads that have taken you through this journey to where you are now today, Christine?
Yeah, it absolutely is my dream job. And Rob Fauber is the CEO of Moody's. He is my boss and he is my champion and my friend. I don't think I had realized it till it was his introduction where he said, you know, I specifically created this role, head of corporate affairs, for Christine. And as I thought about that in the days and weeks after that, it was really such a pleasure because my background is obviously in communications. And so I spend a lot of time along that journey. And that's what I came to Moody's to do, to the communications and branding function. A little while after that, we added in community impact. Shortly after that, we added government and regulatory affairs, which really became corporate affairs. And then a little while after that, we added in our sustainability focus. And not all of those are my sweet spot. I've worked with those teams over my career, but I haven't actually had the opportunity to run those teams and be deeply involved in that work. And so I think the common thread for me across my career is finding something that is exciting and that I have passion for, but also a little bit challenging and something that, you know, makes me wonder how I might take some of my skills from one area and apply it to another, but really understanding that I'm challenging myself and I'm growing that way. And then as I'm growing, I'm having impact. And so I think that's probably the red thread across my career is finding a way to channel my passion, to feel comfortable, because I do think it's important that particularly as women, we feel like we are bringing something to the table where our expertise can be valued, but then also looking to say, how can I take that skill set and apply it in a different way? Because I think a lot of people, and I just had a conversation with a woman on my team last week where I said, well, I have these components, but I haven't done these other things. And I said, it doesn't matter. Right? Because it's the experience that you've had. It's the mindset that you bring. It's the growth impact that you're thinking about that will enable you to do those things. So I think that's probably the common focus that I've had across my now multi-decade career.
That's such a wonderful message, I think, to communicate, particularly to young people today. And I know I have many of those types of similar conversations. And it's something that New York Wiki in particular focuses on when, as we think about the broad spectrum of communications and bringing all those disciplines together. So when you can see how something in one category or one area of your business focus or professional growth can apply to somewhere else, that is incredibly powerful and opens up so much opportunity. I'm so glad you brought that up. There's a characteristic about you that I've now directly observed, but it was mentioned by your chief of staff, Johanna O'Connor, who said in the journal interview with you that you bring a calm confidence to your role, Christine. And I'd love to you to talk to me a little bit about that. Did you always have that? Where did that come from?
Well, Johanna's very kind, but you know, my initial reaction to that question is always, I have two teenage daughters, so anything you throw at me in an office environment is nothing compared to what they throw at me day to day, and that includes trying to make them proud of me, trying to do the right thing by them, trying to provide the right experience for them. And so that is in my mind wherever I go all day long. I will say I come from, you know, pretty unrelatable to my experience. My family is from Buffalo. My parents met when my dad was in the Peace Corps in the Philippines. He was a teacher his entire life. My mom had different jobs, but was also a teacher. And I'm an only child. And so they really instilled in me a belief that most things were possible. My dad was from a Sicilian family in Buffalo. I was the only grandchild for about 13 years with lots of aunts, uncles, and my grandparents around. And so I really had a terrific basis to develop confidence over the years. And as I moved through my education and then my career, as you know, Georgia, I spent a lot of time at ABC News. And, you know, the interesting part about the news business in those days was you'd walk in the morning, you'd be, you know, go to the assignment desk meeting and figure out what you were covering that day. And by 6 o'clock, you had not only had to become an expert in whatever it was, but you had to put it together in about a minute 45, and you had to hit it by 6 p.m. Otherwise, there was a big black hole over Peter Jennings' shoulder, and that was not really an acceptable way to go through. So when I joined the corporate world, the kinds of pressures and things that were, you know, deadlines of weeks, if not months, and days that were spent in meetings just discussing things was a very different environment than I had in television. And so I think that, you know, growing up in that TV lens where, you know, my very first job at ABC was on, you know, This Week with David Brinkley. Many of your listeners are probably too young to remember David Brinkley, but you do. And, you know, the enormous privilege to work with journalistic icons and to watch them, you know, no one had a better purview than Mr. Brinkley. And he was the only one at ABC that you would refer to as Mr., not because he asked for it, just because of the reverence that we all had for him. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the things that he'd done and the responsibility that all journalists have to bring the news to the public, to do it in a way where it is, you know, nonpartisan, nonpartial, bringing that information to the public and really understanding that responsibility was something that really imprinted on me at a very early age in my career.
That ability to not only recognize, but bring great judgment forward in everything you do. You must have learned a lot of that being in that environment. And then, yes, that sort of daily news environment, boy, there's, once you've done that, yeah, everything, oh, a little bit of a piece of cake when you get to everything else. I know that's not quite true, but yes, that can bring a calm and a confidence that you've obviously invested in and fostered over your career. And I'm sure that brings comfort not only to the leadership at Moody's, but to the staff around you. There's nothing like being in a, as we know, there's always going to be something to have to deal with. So dealing with it from a calm, confident position is going to make navigating through whatever it is that much easier. You know, this in this podcast, I really like to give the women that I speak to an opportunity to share stories, as mentioned, personal, professional, things that sort of break through, maybe a time when you've had to push up against some resistance. You know, sometimes that's from the inside. You're battling something internally that you need to break through. We're often our toughest critics, or maybe it's outside forces. Please share with us something from your journey and how you've broken through some barriers to be where you are today, or maybe it's something you're working through right now, Christy.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity, Georgia. I think for me, you're never at a standstill in terms of your growth, and you may not realize it. And, you know, I am at the tail end of my career journey, and I realize that I am probably growing more now than I have in maybe, you know, the past many years combined. It's I think you get to a point where you know yourself, and you know the impact that you're having around you in a different way than you might have as you're coming up the ladder. And so, you know, one of the things that has always been my greatest strength, it is oftentimes my greatest weakness, is candor. You know, when you do all of those 360, you know, Hogan assessments, what have you, 9 times out of 10, I will tell you, it always says Christine's greatest strength is she's clear and direct. Christine's greatest opportunity for development is she's too clear and too direct. So that's been a hallmark of who I am. And maybe that comes, you know, back full circle to the conversation we had about confidence in the beginning. But the part about candor, and I always credit Sally Sussman in talking about this. She talks about it in candor also allows for vulnerability. And the more vulnerable you can allow yourself to be, the greater the impact you're actually going to have on whatever that stakeholder group is. And, you know, as I said, I have 2 daughters. And so, you know, allowing them to see that I don't have all the answers, they're very clear that I don't have all the answers, but, you know, showing them where I'm making mistakes, showing them where I'm not sure how to go. But in the professional environment, you know, being transparent, being vulnerable, that really takes some courage, you know, and, I think it probably takes more courage in some ways than just candor itself. And so, you know, as I've had this fantastic, tremendous privilege of leading the corporate affairs teams at Moody's, we have had a lot of change going on inside the company, within the team, you know, each of us personally. And so, you know, this year in particular, I really said, I cannot do this all. And I am relying on all of you collectively together. And I will tell you the impact that my team has had, the fact that they felt that collective responsibility is just really tremendous. And it's not just that, you know, they were able to take things off of my plate. They were able to take things off of each other's plates. It made work much more cohesive, much more collaborative. I think they frankly had more fun, which is an important part of all of this. And so, but really understanding that part of your journey is to not just expose all the areas where, you know all the answers. And as a leader, I think it's easy and sometimes the default to bring that to the table so that you can, you know, kind of define the next steps, but really understanding that giving yourself that presence to be vulnerable, to be transparent in many different ways has a greater impact across the board.
When you started to sort of behave a little differently, let's say, and allow yourself to be a little bit more vulnerable, just talk to me a little bit about some of the initial reaction to that and how quickly you were able to move through it.
It's hard to show a scar of any kind, even if it's not, you know, a scar in the traditional sense. But it's hard to show some weakness, particularly when you're dealing at, you know, Fortune 500, C-suite. You know, so many people have clawed for so long to get to that place. And so being able to, you know, show that you're doing it and you're doing it well. For years, I have talked about my husband, John, who is the anchor of our family. And as my career started going in a certain direction and his career was going in a certain direction, and he is the one, because he is much more rational and thoughtful about these things, to say, hey, you know, we've got two kids. We both can't be going on this path. We can't be flying all over the place in, you know, constantly. And so he chose to take a step back. So he's the anchor parent at home. And he's the one who knows what day volleyball practice is. He knows what day college applications are due. He knows, you know, which friend group is in favor and out of favor. And so I've talked about that for years, that, and people are all often surprised that that is my family dynamic. But when it came to the work and talking about showing some scars and some vulnerability at work, that was a challenge. And I will say, it's been interesting. The more I've been talking about this, I've been talking about it a lot internally at Moody's, and I expected women, and I expected some of the younger women to feel an impact with that. But I've also had a lot of conversations with my colleagues who are men, my colleagues who are more tenured in the organization, to say, thank you for just doing that. Because every single person, regardless of your gender, regardless of your position in the company, we all have this in the back of our mind, right? And so how do you be able to, you know, all these companies talk about bringing your whole self to work and being your authentic self, but so it's usually within the confines of a certain, you know, guardrails, right? And so, you know, taking the step out to talk about those scars and to talk, the framework I use is lions, right? So lady lions are the hunters, right? And so they're the ones that are out there caring for their families and earning their scars every day, because that's how they care for their families. That's how they take care of the family. And they get some scars from those hunting trips, and that's okay. And they wear them with pride, in their own pride, which is, I love that play on words. And so, you know, the more you do that, I think what I found is you're freeing yourself to be that authentic self, because if you're carrying it and you're not really exposing it, what is the lesson that we're showing to the generations and the colleagues that are coming after us? And, you know, I talk about when we've gotten into that room, right? Your responsibility is not just to make an impact in that room. It's to hold that door wide open so that people can come through with their own ideas behind you. And so it's important that when you're holding that door open, you're showing them the reality of that room as well. Mm.
Such incredible courage as a lion would have, Christine. I mean, that is courageous. And I love that you mentioned that the male counterparts and others within the organization, that many have taken notice. I have a lot of empathy for a certain generation of male right now that is really wants to do the right thing, and it's not very easy. And the more that we can also embrace them and by example show them the way, I think that is fantastic, and such an example of how we are in this journey to bring our whole selves to work. It's a wonderful movement that we are in the middle of, and we have to keep our foot on the gas. And the only way to do that is being brave and stepping out and showing your vulnerability. I know it's something that I think about a lot, that I am sometimes successful at and sometimes not.
And that's just the reality, right? It's, you know, you and I come from the same place where, you know, lots of people tell us for many years, right, in the Sheryl Sandberg book of leaning in. It's important to lean in. And, you know, I don't think that that's most people's problem. I think understanding how you can lean on is actually the bigger lesson. You know, because if you, you know, the students I met at the Matrix Awards, they have grit, they have ambition, they have all of that. They don't need to be told to lean in, but letting them understand the community that is around them is part of what I think we can really impart to the next generation.
Mm. Wonderful. And carrying empathy for others, which is a lot of what we've just spoken about, particularly in your role, it can be exhausting. Life can be exhausting. You've got two teenage daughters. That can certainly be exhausting into itself. All of that together, we need to take care of ourselves. And this is, I think, something that I have personally learned more about. I think going through pandemic times was a little bit of a wake-up call for myself on that. And it's really important to replenish our energy so we have it there for the others that are around us. I know I like to do some meditative yoga. I do improv that brings just a lot of joy into my life, just pure joy. It fuels me. What are the things, Christine, that you do to fuel you? I know, I'm sure you don't have a lot of time in your day, but even if it's small moments, what do you do to kind of get the fuel back?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think like you, there's never enough time, right? And in the hierarchy of where you are giving, often the self gets dropped to the end of the list over and over again. And so this year in particular, I've really made it a point to say to myself, I am going to do the things that kind of fill me back up. And my oldest daughter is at the University of Washington in Seattle. And so it is hard to keep up with her. It's hard to keep up with any college student, but on the West Coast, it's a different thing. And so I've learned that when I'm driving home at night, she's usually getting out of class. And so I can have those conversations where it's just the two of us. And it's just great to be able to connect with her, even if she's just walking through campus and, you know, there's nothing magical about it, but, you know, I'm driving up the West Side Highway and she's watching Mount Rainier out her window and, we just get to connect. And so those moments are really important to me. My younger daughter is a volleyball star. And so, making the point of getting to the games and being there and just being in that environment. I also happen to really love all things related to food, but baking is my happy place. And so on the weekends, this started went into overdrive during the pandemic. I was ordering, you know, many pounds of sacks of flour, but virtually every weekend I'll bake something. And my family does get a little tired of the baked goods, so I am very popular around my neighbors to drop off different things. But it's just something that I can focus on, and it's just entirely me. I really like Broadway, and so I throw on some Broadway show tunes, and I bake, and I feel fulfilled at the end of that.
Mm. What a such a meditative practice to bake. Right. And using different parts of your brain in a very studious way. Maybe you're so good that you're not measuring anymore. And, there's a lot of sort of art and science in it, too, which I think is what makes practices like that really impactful when you can be very present in the moment and allow that type of flow, if you will.
And it's the instant. Not instant, but, you know, so much of our job, right, plays out over time. But generally, at the end of a few hours, I have something to show for one of my efforts, and I then get to share it with other people. And so it brings full circle a lot of the things that I really value most.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm going to wrap up our lovely conversation here today to just think about the future. and what lies ahead for yourself, for your team, the things that maybe are exciting you around the corner, maybe a little keeping you up at night a little bit too, because those are the things that, as you said earlier, you're not quite sure what you need to do. You're going to need to stretch yourself, and that is obviously what fuels you too. So what's around the corner in 2024 for you, Christine?
I'm expecting 2024 to be a really fantastic year professionally. My teams are just really cooking on all cylinders at this point. We took an appropriate amount of time to really ensure that the folks that we had at Moody's had the right resources and the right strategies behind them to accelerate. We've brought in a lot of new talent to be able to add to that mix. And I feel like we have gotten to a place where we are really able to accelerate in a big way. You know, one of the things I've learned about myself is I like big brands. I went to the University of Michigan. I worked at ABC News, American Express, now Moody's. And so for 2024, I will give you a little Easter egg, and we can come back and hopefully talk about it next year. We're really going to take that Moody's brand and accelerate it in a really powerful way. And that's exciting to me across a variety of levels, personally and professionally.
I'm excited to hear more about that, Christine. It's an amazing feeling as a leader when you have a team that you can count on, that is composited in a way that feels like that really gelling jigsaw puzzle that you're looking for. And when you can see your team thrive and individuals on the team really take advantage of the environment that is around them, it's so fulfilling.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, I am so grateful for this conversation. I'm really glad that you have come into my life personally. I look
Likewise.
Forward to more conversations with you, and I will take you up on that. We'll chat more later on in the year, next year, when we see the Moody's brand out there bigger and better than ever. Thank you, Christine, for today.
Thank you, Georgia. Thank you.
You've been listening to Women Heard, presented by New York Women in Communications. I'm your host, Julie Hochheiser-Ilkovich. Thank you to our incredible producer, Liz Roberts, and the amazing team that works on this podcast: Chelsea Orcutt, Chrisanne Grise, Mandy Carr, Alex Fetter, who wrote our original theme music, and all of the wonderful volunteers on the podcast committee. A special thank you to Donna Jean Plant and everyone at New York Wiki who supports us. For more information about New York Women in Communications, including how to join and all about upcoming events, go to nywiki.org. That's nywici.org. And please take a moment to rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.